Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, there's going to be more layoffs. This is just in the CFL office. There's teams. We're all sitting there waiting for the teams to announce it. The team staff themselves are waiting for it because it is coming. And if you think stenciling your name on a base for the Grey Cup trophy is going to save the CFL, I have some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you.
How about that?
We're making a change in your department. Really? Who's in my department? You.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
How about that? Welcome to hour two of the program, everybody. It is Canada's daytime sports talk show, and we are into hour two of episode number 312. John Frenzy's here with me today. I think we've hit a hot button topic here right now. And because it is a football Friday, Rick Campbell was with us last hour, the head coach of the BC Lions, and he said it's a good thing for football that the NFL is playing. I think he said it's a good thing for the CFL that football is playing. And he might not be wrong, but it's really triggered an avalanche of comments here. Viewer in Edmonton says the CFL is going to steal the young fans away from our great game of Canadian football. Sad 2020. Lauren in Kamloops says the CFL risks losing more fans to the NFL by not playing this year. I was telling Lynch, I drove him here in Big Bird today. What do you think of driving in my Jeep today, Lynch?
Fantastic. Always been fantastic. You've been holding out this year in me for some reason.
Big Bird's been in the hospital for most of the summer. Do me a favor.
Get you in a great mood.
Do me a favor and pull your shirt down. There you go. completely distracting. Lynch's belly out to the world.
My wife's watching a Mo Sugar Crazy.
She's mad. Yeah. But anyways, that's what we were talking about, and he triggered that. And I'm not saying he's wrong, but I want to think about it. And coming up this hour, we'll maybe put that question to James Duthie and Juwan Braskison on, is it good for the CFL that the NFL is playing, and even though the CFL isn't? Because I interviewed Dave Lowry, the head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings, about a month ago, knowing that the WHL season was going to be delayed. And he said, hey, at least there's hockey. Bravo to the NHL for getting the bubble working and the Stanley Cup playoffs going. At least there's hockey on TV. Yeah. It's the same thing as what Rick Campbell's saying, and I can't say that he's wrong.
People want football. I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
It'll help a lot. I mean, it's not Canadian football, but it's pretty good football. The NAIA football and Southeastern Conference football is pretty good football.
It's outstanding football.
It's outstanding football.
I want to get to the comment from Brian from the Lions Den podcast, but just on that Wheat Kings thing, by the way, report came out from Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet that apparently the Brandon Wheat Kings are going to have new owners. I'd been sitting on this for a few days, didn't want to say, but then all of a sudden when that report came out, my phone blew up. Jared Jacobson from the wealthy Jacobson family in Brandon, I've been told real estate, car dealerships, I think, got a lot of money, Lynch.
Yep.
Buying the Brandon Wheat Kings from Kelly McCrimmon. I've heard everything, 7, 8, 11 million. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's buying the team from Krim. And I said, why does Kelly want to give up the Wheat Kings? And they say it's gotten to be too much. His duties with the Golden Knights as general manager has just gotten to be too much.
And his job that he's done with the Golden Knights is fantastic.
Amazing.
Incredible.
Yes. So to Brian, again, in Vancouver, he says the CFL needs to get with the times and hire a top flight marketing firm, someone who knows how to reach young people, someone who gets social media.
He's right on, Brian. You're 110% right on. Why don't they do it?
Don't know. And to me, that's their thing. As a matter of fact, it's part of my quick six show topics. Let's hit it again, Jordan, before we bring in James Duthie. This is what we've been talking about today. Seventh Heaven, point one, a doubleheader of NHL games. Dallas, Colorado at 2 p.m., Vegas, Vancouver at 7 p.m. You know where I'll be, in front of my TV.
Right.
Somebody asked me if I was golfing this weekend. I don't know. Ask my wife. This is what I know. Today's the perfect day. She's out golfing this afternoon. I'm home watching Stanley Cup playoffs. I couldn't be happier. Point two, OG Anunoby, three-point buzzer beater to win the game for the Raptors, game three over Boston yesterday. Raptors 104, Celtics 103. They've got life. But it was in an empty gym. It was just weird. Point three, Marc-Andre Fleury has to start in goal for the Golden Knights. I'll say it again for the third time. The Knights have painted themselves in a corner.
How about the new coach? I mean,
with this Leonard Fleury thing. Leonard's lost the last two. You got to go with the Flower tonight. It's Flower hour.
Yep.
And if they lose, I don't care who the goalie is, Peter DeBoer better be looking over his shoulder.
Oh, no kidding.
Point four, it is Labor Day Classic weekend. It's got people somewhat depressed, and believe me, I get it. I think I would be in that. Lynch has only missed one Labor Day Classic since 1950. And what year was it?
1973.
It's weird.
And my grandfather, my father-in-law, Roy Erb, died at Yellowgrass and at the funeral. Obviously.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh about that. Nelson, our VP of Sim Events, says at the same time, the CFL has won awards for their social media usage in 2017 and 2018. Great. They better get those off the wall as the house is burning down right now. What has that done for them? Nothing. Zero. So you can sit and point at the awards. Great. David Benefield's OPED, that's point five. For those of you uneducated, that's an opinion editorial. David Benefield, it's running right now at rodpeterson.com, where the CFL lost its way, 11 points.
He's right on.
I know, and it's got me excited about
for the CFL.
David Benefield should be. And for when the CFL comes back, Benefield's got to be part of it in some fashion.
Sure, but he's the logical guy to go.
And point six, because it's Football Friday, NFL news and notes, a lot of things there. Teams have been allowed to do their own individual deals with gambling companies. The teams have. That'll be a financial windfall for the NFL. CFL's got to do that. Point two, Henry Burris staying with the Chicago Bears. Interesting. We talked to Rick Campbell about it last hour, and he said he offered Hank a job with the Red Blacks. As quarterbacks coach, Hank wasn't ready then, but he's ready now league.
I don't like seeing him go from Canada.
Cam Newton to start in week one for the Carolina Panthers. And point four, the Seattle Seahawks signing Josh Gordon, the multiple suspended Josh Gordon. All right, let's go with James Duthie now joining us from the Big Smoke, former host of the CFL on TSN. How you doing, James?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. John Frenzy's with us, Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster. Throw your headphones on there if you don't mind. James, I'm going to start with this. Rick Campbell last hour said, hey, we don't have CFL in 2020, but at least we've got the NFL to watch. And I thought, I don't know where I am on that. How do you feel about that comment? What do you think it means to the CFL that the NFL is going and for the current and future?
Well, I mean, he's probably just saying, you know, he's a football guy, and so at least we have football. So I hope you don't give him too hard of a time for it, because I'm kind of that way too. I always get in arguments. I hate people that, as you know, that, and it really, there's a few of them in Toronto that can't stand the CFL and will only watch NFL. And my entire life, I've just loved football. We used to, when I lived in Ottawa, we used to get, Quebec used to air like peewee football games with full commentators on Saturday. It was called Les Héros du Samedi. Like they would air like little six-year-olds playing football and have cameras and commentators. And I would watch that because I watch any football. And so it despises me when somebody likes one league and doesn't like the other. If you love football, you love NCAA and CIS and CFL and NFL. But I don't feel the way he feels. I love the NFL and I'll be watching it, but I think there's a massive void without the Canadian Football League for me and for obviously so many of the fans across the country. And I don't think just having the NFL is enough to replace what we've lost with the CFL not being here.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I agree with you. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought since our last interview when you said those 9-9 back-to-back years you referred to as the dynasty years in Ottawa. Yeah. I laugh so hard about that, by the way. And sorry, but viewer in Edmonton says, please ask James, will the NFL take young fans away from the CFL? That is a legitimate question, I would suggest.
I think that's a legitimate question and a legitimate fear, because when you are, you know, I'm trying to think of myself at 10 years old or 15 years old and 16 years old, how influential you are. That I would go, you know, I can remember watching one Clemson football game in the 80s, and I saw a cheerleader with a paw on her face and fell in love.
Right. Sorry.
Still ask my wife to occasionally put an orange paw on her face on, you know, Saturday nights.
Go Tigers.
I know, but it's kind of a true story, and that's I fell in love with NCAA football just because of a cheerleader with a paw on her face. And still follow Clemson to this day. So kids are easily influenced is what I'm trying to say. So I think that's a legitimate fear. I don't think you're going to lose a generation in one season, assuming that we can get the CFL back next year, but there will be at least a degree of impact in that. But again, I think if you can limit it to 1 year, and remember, there's no guarantee that the NFL pulls this off as it stands now, it looks okay, I suppose. But if we have a second wave that hits in the States and suddenly they have to call off the season in early November, and I think all of that kind of stuff is on the table. So it's a legitimate concern, though.
One thing, one pause frenzy from a viewer, Doug McKelly says, I'll be watching NFL. Any football's better than none, and the CFL has to come back with a new vision because they were losing fans anyway. Anyways, over to you, frenzy. What do you got for James Duffy?
Well, James, good to see you there. What do you think? Do you think it's going to come back next year? And what's the feeling in Ottawa and Toronto where you are? I mean, around here, it's sort of died in Regina, and it really bothers me.
I think it'll come back in some form. Let's put the COVID aside and assuming we're at a place where it happened. I think they'll find a way. I just think that there are too many fans and supporters led by your province to let it go. Now, will it be different? Will it take a different form? Will we have to? And I don't pretend to have a vision for this yet. I've been thinking about it for a few weeks, but I don't have any great ideas. And I'm hoping there's smarter people than me that will. But I think there'll be football in Canada next year. I think the CFL will be back next year. I think TSN has too much of a vested interest in it. I mean, it's our programming for 6 months. And as you guys know, that TV deal is a big part of the Canadian Football League and why it survives in the first place. And so I don't think that our bosses are probably more committed to the CFL than any other sport out there. And so I don't think we'll let it. We'll do our best to keep it going, too. So that sounded very self-serving. I didn't mean it to sound that
no,
way.
It actually it didn't. And I wish we had more time with you because I'd go down this road. It's 12 hours of live programming every week for TSN in the summertime. So when I hear from Torontonians that say
it's our entire schedule for 4 days, 4 weeks.
Right.
Four nights a week.
And people will say the Argos aren't visible in Toronto. I'm like, have you heard of TSN, Canada's sports leader that's on every TV around here in downtown Toronto or everywhere else? They got the Argos on every week for 3 hours live. How could you say they're not visible? How could people say that, James, when they're on national television every week?
And not only that, but the ratings in Toronto are actually pretty good for the CFL, not just Argos games. So I've never understood the disconnect between people not going to games there and people are actually watching them on TV. Now, obviously, there's a huge population base here, and that's part of it. But, yeah, I'm with you. That's not a viable excuse. The Toronto thing is a whole separate conversation to the survival of
right.
the league. But
exactly.
Like I said, we want it back badly, and I hope if we're in a better shape nationally as far as COVID goes that we'll figure out a way to get this happening.
Another question for you. I was on Nick Lewis's podcast last night and he doesn't care a lot for hockey. He said, how would you compare the hockey in the bubble compared to past years? And I said, at least as good. And he thinks the basketball's been better in the NBA in the bubble for whatever reason. How would you compare the hockey? Because I believe it's been at least as good. Is there any chance it's been better than years past?
I don't know that it's been better but if you're just saying the hockey itself, that's tough to evaluate because how can I separate my experience with fans in the building and overtime games and the wacky comebacks we've had and the way Nathan MacKinnon is playing? If you had fans in those buildings, I think my experience would be still greater. But the actual hockey itself has been, I was a skeptic. I didn't think they would be able to pull this off, but I think it's gotten better. We have 3 game 7s over the next 2 days, which I don't think, even though it's a weirder experience, the intensity is equal. I'd agree with you, Rod. I think it's been terrific so far. What's happened this round, the last couple of days, I think has been, we used to have this joke at TSN. One of our bosses used to always say, this is the night the playoffs really started. It would come, halfway through round one or something when there'd be an exciting night. And Joe O'Dog and I were joking last night saying, this is the night the playoffs really started because, round two, it looked like everything was going to be over in 5 games. And I think that gauging the interest of my friends, it wasn't necessarily there, my kids. But the last couple of days to have these 3 game 7s, I think is a big bolster for the NHL. I think the quality of hockey, which was your original question, has been terrific.
You must have heard this today in Toronto. Eddie Lack has thrown it out on Twitter. He's become a good friend of our program, that the Vegas-Vancouver game should have been moved to Saturday for the integrity of the game. And frankly, I agree. I'm excited for Game 7 tonight, but that's a quick turnaround for those teams. What do you think?
I think they got too excited about getting this thing done. And the push, you know, every second day is fine. To have the back-to-backs, I really think that the NHL, who was ever making these decisions at the top, they're like, let's get this thing done as quickly as possible before something goes wrong. And so, I mean, what's the real difference if they finish September 26th or October 4th or October 3rd? I don't think it really matters. And so I agree. I think that was a mistake, that you should never have a game 6 and a game 7 on back-to-back nights. I don't mind games 2 and 3. If they wanted to put the back-to-backs, put them all early in the series, games 3 and 4, whatever. I don't think you can. I don't know that you could say at this point, you know, after last night, suddenly say, okay, we're going to take an extra day. I'm not sure if that works for TV scheduling and such, but I completely agree that it's wrong to have a game 6 and 7 back to back nights.
Two quick last questions. Any predictions on the games today? Dallas, Colorado at 2 p.m. Mountain, and then Vegas, Vancouver at 7 p.m. Mountain. Any thoughts on who will win?
Rod, you know we used to have a monkey that spun a wheel.
Maggie!
Because,
yes.
Of how bad we all were at this. So
where did Maggie go?
I'm terrible at it. Maggie's dead, Rod.
Sorry.
I don't know if you have any young viewers. I don't know if the monkey's probably alive somewhere. They live long lives.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I went for the cheek line there. I'm sure she's away. She was released back into the wild, and she's very happy.
She's probably watching the playoffs.
20 years ago or something like that.
Right. So she's probably watching the playoffs somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, she's watching the playoffs. I don't know. I'm still going to go. I picked Vegas to win the cup at the beginning of the year and then again at the trade deadline. So I'm going to stick with that because I'll look like an idiot if I don't. So I just think that miracle that the Canucks pulled off the last couple nights, it's hard to do that three times in a row. Now, having said that, I probably give them their best chance in the last three games in tonight's game simply because of momentum and Vegas suddenly getting awful nervous about things. But I'll take Vegas. I'll take Colorado because I think Nathan MacKinnon is the story of the entire playoffs. And I'll take the Islanders to find a way to survive.
Those are all popular picks around here. Jordan Eberle, I'm a Vegas fan. And like you say, Colorado.
How good has he been, by the way? Like there's a guy I've always rooted for because he's a really good guy. I used to host his golf tournament out in Saskatchewan for a few years. But, man, he's changed his game. And has become, you know, not just a scorer, but an effective guy in the corners and checking. And I'm just so happy for him to get a run like this.
You can just tell he's having fun. You can just tell by the look on his face. And lastly, our viewers would like to know, because a lot of CFL fans out here, James, do you ever envision a return to the CFL on TSN panel or some form or fashion?
That's I'll it's funny when we lost Chris, when I got into this business, I wanted to do football play-by-play. And going back to bookend our conversation from the beginning, it didn't matter to me. I wanted to do CFL. I wanted to do NFL. When you're 10 years old and living in Ottawa, they're equals to you. The CFL might have been more in my head. So, and when nobody remembers this, but I did about 10 CFL games after my days hosting CFL. I did play-by-play for about 10 CFL games, and that's kind of where I hoped my career was going. And then the hockey gig came along, and that was that. And so I thought a lot that maybe sometime in my life I'd like to go back and try CFL play-by-play. Now, I say this to you and all your listeners knowing that I'm not sure I'd be good at it. I don't pretend to have the pipes of Rod Smith or the cadence of a Chris Cuthbert or a Gordon Miller, but I think I'd like to try it again someday once they kick me off the hockey panel.
Good. We'd like to hear it. And I just saw on my wire feed here, Clemson's been picked to win a 6th ACC title, just so you know. So go Tigers. James, thanks for this. Enjoy the hockey, my friend. Oh, your book's coming out. We should plug that. Beauties, the greatest untold hockey stories, coming out in October. Can we give that a shot?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, buddy. It's available, I think, for pre-order now, wherever Amazon or wherever you buy books. And I think people are going to like it. Lots of good stories, including a chapter on Jordan Eberle.
Beauties, the greatest untold hockey stories. Look for it on Amazon. James, thanks for the time as always, man. Appreciate it.
Always great talking to you guys.
James Duffy, we'll be watching him on TSN getting ready tonight. Big day, doubleheader day in hockey. two game sevens, and then one on Saturday. Frenzy, I think we can let you go. Your ride is here. You good?
Yep.
All right. Did you have fun today?
A lot of fun, buddy.
Actually, before we break, finish your rant on Bill O'Brien.
Well, okay. He finally got
the GM of the Houston Texans. Coach and GM.
He talked to Mrs. Blair into giving him the whole title of GM and head of scouting.
The owner's wife.
The owner's wife. He's got complete control more than anybody else has. His first move was to get rid of Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins. But arguably one of the top five receivers in the National Football League. Very exciting receiver. He got rid of him. Traded him to the Arizona Cardinals for David Johnson, who's not a bad running back. But, I mean, the fans in Houston are absolutely furious about this. And, I mean, it's a very stupid move for him to make. And I think it's going to really hurt the Houston Texans.
Well, we'll find out because they're on the docket game one, right?
Yep.
Next Thursday night.
They're on the docket.
Kansas City is going to run over them.
Oh, Kansas City's going to kill them. Kansas City is something else. Oh, the guy, cute guy there, Pudding Baby Tepe, Andy Reid, great guy. He's done a great job putting this team together. Finally, after all these years in the National Football League, he gets the kind of team that he wants. Wins the Super Bowl. I think he's going to do it for another couple of years. Great quarterback, great offense, spectacular offense. Holy God, unreal. Yeah, they'll beat the hell out of Houston, and there'll be a lot of fuss in Houston about what's going on there.
They're
going
to run all over them. Where is that game? Must be in KC.
It's in KC.
Has to be at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
All right, Frenzy, thanks. Thank you, Joe Loomis. Good to see you. We'll be back. Juwan Breskison coming up. A sports update. And producer Clark, we're going to let him out of his cage and bring him on the show later on for overtime. It's the RP Show, Football Friday, Canada's daytime sports time talk. Sports talk show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just, don't mind me, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just sending out a retweet here. Thank you, BC Lions, for the tweet. I love me some BC Lions, producer Clark.
Oh, yeah, they are great.
They're great to us.
Great people.
And they're great overall. They sent us this Mike Riley bobblehead, a jersey, Wally Buono's pass. Anyways, breaking news today, and it's not good news. Liram Hiralahu released by the Los Angeles Rams this morning. I just saw Justin Dunk's Twitter. That's not, and you said 100%.
I think he was the best statistical kicker at camp for the Rams, and they let him go.
That's no preseason. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Just ahead of Joanne Breskison, just a sports update. Season on the line for the Vancouver Canucks and Vegas Golden Knights tonight. The teams play game 7 of their second round series tonight in Edmonton. Canucks storm back, tying the series with wins in the last 2. It is a 7 p.m. faceoff tonight. The Colorado Avalanche hope to complete a comeback against the Dallas Stars today in a 2 p.m. faceoff. Colorado's won 2 in a row to force a Game 7 in their second-round series. Backup goalie Michael Hutchinson's been in net for both of the most recent wins for the Abs. Big pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. The top-seeded team in the NBA's Eastern Conference trails the Miami Heat 2-0 heading into Game 3 of their second-round series tonight. Later on, the Lakers, as our guy the Snowman calls them, the Fakers, open their Western Conference semi against the Houston Rockets. The Raptors return to action tomorrow against Boston. They trail the series 2-1. Doubleheader for the Blue Jays today. Toronto plays a pair of games in Boston against the struggling Red Sox. Tanner Roark gets the start in the opener, while righty Ross Stripling makes his Blue Jays debut in the nightcap. The Jays opened the 5-game series with a 6-2 win in 10 last night. This sports update for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars. The best you'll ever have. 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. You ready to roll with Juwan?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's bring him in. Juwan Breskison, you know him from the Calgary Stampeders. He's in Argo now. Joins us today, I can only imagine, from the GTA. How you doing, Juwan? Hey, Jordan just panicked. No sound. Do you need to run in there and fix that?
I'll wait till Jordan yells at me, but I might have to run back.
Did you hear the panic in Jordan's voice?
Yeah, I heard him. Yeah. Jordan, wait. You let me know if I need to come back there.
10-4, not yet, he says. Okay. Can you, by the way, this is a great thing.
Yeah.
Explain to our viewers what happens when that happens.
Yeah, so when our video callers call in, we see under their name a video feed and an audio feed. And typically it shows us good numbers for both. And then sometimes it's just not connected perfectly on the other end. And it just doesn't come up. So we go to them thinking it's going to be great, and it usually is when we fix it, but then it just doesn't click in right. So it just happens.
And that's what happened here.
Beauty of technology.
Cue the panic here. But what we understand is it's panic for you guys, too.
Yeah.
But Jordan tells me we've got Juwan now, and I'll start it all over again with that. Juwan, how you doing down there in Toronto today?
I'm doing great. How are you? You see, I got my Raptors jersey on right now. So
how nuts is
good over here.
How nuts is that town right now with what happened last night?
It's pretty dead, to be honest. there's a pandemic going on, so people aren't out how we usually are. But I heard a couple people yelling in my apartment building last night when the shot went in. So I know people were watching.
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah, of course. And by the way, Craig Campbell's watching downtown Toronto from the Hockey Hall of Fame. He writes, Argos. I talked with Nate Ajay about this last Friday, about the influx of GTA talent on the Argos. How excited are you to get it going? Because it will come back. What does it mean to Argos football, do you think, to have all you guys?
I'm excited, and I think it's a chance for the Argos to kind of tap back into the community. When I was growing up playing football, they were heavy in the community and going to schools and camps. And, you know, I think them bringing back guys from the GTA, they're trying to do that again. So I think they have the right guys. And, you know, if the pandemic never happened, I think that we would have had a pretty good team. So Just looking forward to 2021 and seeing what the future holds.
Well, and please inform me. I mean, pinball, longtime friend of mine, John Murphy, close friend of mine. The guys know what they're doing. Seems easy to pull together a bunch of local players, doesn't it? There's a ton of great Toronto football players, not just receivers. Why has nobody done this before?
That's a good question. And honestly, it's something that we talk about a lot as Canadians in the CFL, because we do have a lot of guys that have shown to produce when they get put in the positions that, you know, are, you know, the receiver positions that are starting and the guys that are getting the ball or the linebackers, whoever. Whenever a lot of the good Canadian guys are put in positions to succeed, they usually do well in those spots. So I think Toronto didn't care about the passport, but just the players.
Fair enough. That reminds me, so do you live close to Nate or Clark? Who did he say you guys live in the same area? Is that you that lives close by?
Yeah. Nate lived down the street from me. We actually should have went to the same high school, but I went to high school at Loyola, where Dejan ended up going after me. And Brandon Bridge also lived down the street from me as well. Basically, everybody from Mississauga lived close to each other.
There's an absolute hotbed of CFL talent, by the way. So I don't even know where to start. You're opening up a Pandora's box of topics here. Dejan, how soon before he's a star? How long is it going to take him to grasp the pro game and the CFL game, do you think?
Honestly, I think he can show what he's capable of his first year. He's athletically gifted, but he's also very smart. And I think that he's going to have a great career, whether it be CFL or if he ends up down south. I think that he's going to be a great player. Because like I said, he's intelligent and he's athletically gifted. So when you put those two together, it leads to some great things.
Was it tough to leave Calgary, by the way, because I'm over here in Saskatchewan watching what was going on there with Mark and Michelle and Kamar Jordan and yourself. And it never ends. It never, never ends. What led to you signing in Toronto, and was it tough to leave Calgary? Because you knew that you were always going to be on a good team.
Yeah. It was definitely tough to leave Calgary. I made friends there. My dad lives in Edmonton with my sister and my stepmom. So it's only, you know, a 3-hour drive. I have a place out there now. So I kind of made it home. And it was just the fact that I wanted a bigger role and I was going to get that bigger role in Toronto. And also just coming off a knee injury, being in Calgary, there was times where I kind of felt like I needed my family, just going through mental and physical, rehab, basically. And I felt like if something like that were to happen again, I would be home and have family close by to help me get through that. So those were the major factors that made me want to come back to Toronto.
Producer Clark's got a few for you here.
Juwan, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So since the CFL cancellation has taken place, we've seen a lot of guys picking up spare jobs or jumping into the coaching world. You've done it differently. You've jumped onto Twitch. Can you talk about your experience on Twitch and how that's kind of taken off lately?
Yeah. So right now, I have, I think, 193 followers on Twitch, just streaming Fall Guys, Call of Duty, NBA 2K. And honestly, I play video games consistently in season. It's kind of my hobby. So I was kind of thinking, if you can make money off a hobby, I might as well just do this. So I've invested in a camera. I already had the PlayStation, a lighting system, a green screen. So I'm just hoping that this takes off soon and make some money off of it on top of things that I have going on outside of that.
Absolutely. If you're going to be playing it anyways, might as well flip a camera on, right?
Exactly.
Were you the one who was organizing that CFL Call of Duty tournament?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that end up going?
It actually went well. We had, I want to say, 16 teams of three sign up. And the winners were P.L. Caron and Riley Jones from the Calgary Stampeders, along with Riley's brother, Cooper Jones. So it turned out well, and we're looking to do another one soon. Maybe get some Rod Peterson commentary with it.
I'd be all over it, and I'd love to. And as a matter of fact, I was telling somebody the other day, on Game Plus, our TV network, which you guys get down there on Rogers and Cogeco Cable, they air this. It's not just on Twitch, but it's on Game Plus as well. I'm telling people, dude, there's gamers that have 10 million followers on Instagram.
Yes.
Like, this yes. is where it's going, and people are finally it starting, Juwan, to get their head around the fact of what we're doing on Game Plus and with the gaming.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you your take on CFL Sim, by the way, because you've weighed in on some of our games in the commentary.
Yeah. I want to know the algorithm, because I feel like I play a lot of snaps, but I don't get a lot of catches. So, I'm kind of wondering like what's going on with me, but, I think it's great. And I think that we need to have a CFL game. I think it's free marketing. And it also give us a chance to connect with the younger, ages that may not follow CFL football like I did when I was younger. So, I think you're onto something.
I'm thinking, and I'm writing something down here, by the way. I'm going to send a text to Nelson. He's the guy that handles the algorithm. I think we got to move Juwan inside.
Inside, yeah. Those inside,
for the
yeah.
next game.
They're slotbacks. They get a lot of action.
They really love Nataya Jay, and they really love Levy Noel, who I think is playing the boundary wideout spot. I got to check at the offensive game plan for the Argos. But Juwan, moving forward, what do you think is possible for the CFL if they do get into gaming with the stars like yourself? Like, you got that. But I've said to Don Jackson and Duran and Shaq Johnson, we need an all-star hip-hop album. Proceeds to the CFLPA. There's so much out there that we could do, and I just don't feel like a lot's being done. I'll be honest with you.
I agree, and there's actually a lot of players with some great ideas as far as marketing, and I think that's the problem. The league doesn't have a strong relationship with the players, so they're not going to know the ideas that the players have. And there's a lot of guys like John Rush, for example, who's built his brand up. And, you know, he's been a special teams backup linebacker and not even really like a, you know, name face of the CFL. But when people think of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a lot of them think of John in his community. He does a lot with vegan recipes, and he has a vlog, and he has a dog rescue, and he's built up his brand. So, you know, they need to tap into guys like John or the Natays or even the Chad Owens that have pretty strong brands right now, and kind of just get marketing ideas. I'm not saying that players are going to give them away for free, but there's a lot of creative players right now, because we have to be a CFL players. We don't make millions of dollars to where we can just rely on football money. And I think once the league strengthens their partnership with the players, then the marketing and the growth will happen.
Juwan, we talked to Rick Campbell in hour one, head coach of the BC Lions now, and he obviously just signed in BC before the season got canceled and never got to step on the field with his team. You're in the same boat. We kind of talked about you joining the Argos earlier, but what was it like for you having all the excitement of going back to your hometown and then not being able to strap up with your boys?
There was a lot of emotional highs and lows throughout this whole offseason, to be honest, just getting over an injury and then not knowing where I was going to sign, and then signing in Toronto and being super happy to come home, and then the season being postponed and not knowing if I was going to end up playing. Like, I was laughing about it, and I was like, you know, what if I look back and I was like, remember that time I was a Toronto Argo and there was a pandemic and I never suited up, although I was able to go into the facilities for treatment and whatnot. I just wanted to play. I wanted to put on the uniform and wear the logo, because so many people were rooting for Calgary for the past 4 years because I was on the team, but everybody loved Toronto. So I kind of just wanted to be home and play for my hometown team.
Well, we know that it will happen again soon, hopefully as soon as 2021. By the way, Nelson Hakowich, our VP of Sim Events, has written in and says, Juwan has 624 yards, good enough for a second, on the Argos. So he's asking you, check the film. The film doesn't lie.
I'm being selfish. You know how us receivers are. We always want the ball.
There's only one.
Matt Nichols likes to spread it out.
Yeah, Matt Nichols. He's what we call a ball distributor. Nelson, by the way, wrote Juan, like Mexican John.
Yeah, it's probably
you forgot a W in there. Okay, and let's just straighten it out right now. Your nationality, Breskison, what's the nationality?
Yeah, that's Northern Italian.
Ooh. Oh, I thought so, yeah, but there's no vowel at the end.
My mom. So apparently Italian is like, apparently Breskison is like Smith in Northern Italy. So there's a lot of us out there.
How often does it come up that people are butchering your name? Spelling, saying?
It's terrible. Even my first name. So growing up, I would get Juan Breskason or Breskakin. And over time, you just kind of start ignoring it. But as I got older, I just wanted people to know my name because it's my name. But you've done a great job of of pronouncing it, so I give you some.
You were getting a hard time.
You know what? I appreciate that, Juwan, because even in the early days in Calgary, I was just saying what it was phonetically. It's not that hard. And then earlier on this summer, somebody was like, no, it's Breskason. So, what? I don't think so. But then I started saying that, and thankfully, you were watching. And you chimed in and corrected me.
Yeah. You had it right. So, it's probably my own fault for not correcting people, because a lot of people would say Breskason, and even my coaches in Calgary who knew me for 4 years, they would call me that, and I was just like, just let it go.
I said, all the young guys, you got to step up and say it. Mike Adam was Edom for 5 years before he finally opened, and he's not a shy guy. But anyways, Juwan, we'll let you go. Thanks for this. Keep it up. We support everything that you do. Good luck through the pandemic here, and can't wait to see you on the field soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
That was great. And good job, Clark, lining that up, by the way.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Juwan Breskison of the Toronto Argonauts. Oh, Brian Warrishin writes in from the Lions Den podcast and says, try Warrishin, Juwan. I couldn't get that right for the longest time either.
Yeah,
I think I was calling him Warrishin.
Yeah,
it's a very Saskatchewan name.
Yeah.
And he said he did live here for a while. Yeah. Anyways, we'll break and come back. Clark and I got a lot to get to and unpack. It's the RP Show. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Proudly serving Regina and area since 1978. Updating and improving your air conditioning system does not need to be difficult. You can breathe easy with our 100% satisfaction guarantee, flexible financing options, and maintenance programs. We will be with you throughout the process from start to finish. Contact us today so we can help you breathe a little easier. 306-781-2090.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Dark Horse. Download the app today. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And again, I'm tweeting the poll, so just hang on. I'm not ignoring you. Producer Clark is in the bunker. How you doing, Clark?
Pretty good. Feels good to be out here again. I was having a good day. Today's been a great day.
I know it has.
We had a great pre-show meeting, which always sets the day off on the right foot.
Because DuPont wasn't here.
DuPont wasn't here to buzz around and break us up. And then every video caller was
good.
Has
been great.
And that always makes me feel pretty good.
Lynch was normal.
Well, his shirt was...
Were you glad that I told him to?
Yeah, Jordan actually. Shout out to Jordan. He zoomed his camera up a little bit when his belly was hanging out there. So we got that handled. Oh, I got to lift my ball cap up.
Thanks. Yeah, John O'Flynn in Vancouver says, Clark, need to see your baby blues. Lift that ball cap up a wee bit. I call him the third Sedin.
Yeah,
the third Sedin.
Have I told you? I've told you my Chris Cuthbert story, right?
Which one?
So I used to do room service at the Delta Hotel, and Chris Cuthbert was here for CFL week. And I delivered room service to his room, and he said, hold up, you look like a Sedin. And I said, oh, well, I've heard that. Thank you. And, he's like, can I take a picture of you?
Come on.
And I was like, I mean, yeah, sure. I don't know who he sent it to, but, I never got famous for it or anything. Didn't hit Twitter.
You got a story though.
Yeah.
So, well, obviously you bartended there.
Yeah. Bartender.
And you did room service.
Yeah.
So the two most famous people that I know that you ran into are now Chris Cuthbert and Clark Gillies.
Yeah.
Who else? Any famous singers?
Yeah. Bon Jovi stayed there.
Come on. Did you meet him?
I saw him. He had pretty tight security on him, but, we took all their bags up to the floor and then
had
security. The Junos were here the 1 year. So like Jacob Hogart from Headley was there. Serena Ryder was there. I met, Justin Bieber's choreographer on the night of the Boston Marathon bombing. And that guy's from Boston. So he was walking us through where all the streets were.
Oh, wow.
That night was insane. for everybody.
I'm it's sure very know. Interesting, by the way. I'm just going to interject with a comment from a viewer. Brent Kuhlman says, must be Friday. Rod didn't go off on Nelson for spelling a name wrong. LOL. Anyway, thanks for another great week. See you Monday for the Sim Games. Well, don't leave us yet, Brent.
We still got like 10 minutes.
Yeah, lots of time left here. This is actually going to get real fun, so I suggest you don't click X and get out. Don't do it. I did work in a hotel for 3 months, and it was the worst 3 months of my life in terms of being outside the sports and entertainment industry. And I was like 19. Mm-hmm. I really hated it. But you've talked nothing but fondly about your time.
I loved it.
At the Hotel Saskatchewan.
Yeah, it was a great time. We had a great staff, and we had a lot of fun there. It was at the Delta, right? So that's the hotel in Regina. If any event comes, it's pretty much either the Delta or the Hotel Sask. So we got a lot of big name people coming through there, and you got to know some of the regulars over time that would stay there every week for business, and they literally stayed there every week. So they'd become like your neighbor almost.
That's cool.
You see them every shift. So we had a lot of good times in there. Made some really good friends who are still. They were some couple of them were in my wedding party. So
close staff, because we had a deal with Famoso. You were gone by then, but we would have with their staff coming over all the time. Our restaurant was a block away. So
yeah, for sure.
Colin in Ottawa says, did Clark see the tribute that the Mets did to honor the passing of their franchise's best ever player, Tom Seaver? Each player rubbed dirt on their pants at their right knee. And what there else does he say? As Seaver's slow driving delivery made sure that he never had clean pants. Right. He got down so low.
Got low, yeah.
What did you think of... Everybody's talking about Tom Seaver. Look, I had all his cards. He was a Major League Baseball icon.
Yeah.
I'm not shedding a tear over it, however. Were you shaken up by it? You're too young to remember Tom Seaver.
I hate to say it, guys. Tom Seaver was before my time.
Way before you were even born. He retired before you were born.
Yeah, he wasn't in my wheelhouse, but I'm glad that they did do that. I'm glad that they had that tribute for him, because I know the name. He's obviously a huge name, so it's good that they kind of honored his legacy a little bit.
Well, like you say, you know he's a big deal with the outpouring.
Yeah.
of what there's been, by the way. I got to ask you a question about Juwan Breskison.
Sure.
And I was on Nick Lewis's podcast yesterday, and he totally caught me off guard with a question.
Ooh.
He goes, Rod, this is in the interview. He goes, why do the players love you so much? And I said, I need you to explain. What are you talking about? And he goes, well, the guys that are coming on your show, he goes, I'm talking to everybody, current CFL players, ex-CFL players, they just love you. Why is that? I said, I didn't know that they did.
Yeah.
But you're the one reaching out to them. And I did explain this. When we started doing these interviews with all the Rider alumni, you know, a guy like Stevie Baggs resonated with Bomber fans and Stamps fans and Ticats fans. And John Chick resonated with Ticats fans and Edmonton fans, right? So that really, that was not by design.
No.
That just happened.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, this became the show for CF, for the players.
Yeah. I think originally our first, when we first started the show a year and a half ago now, which flown by the
way. I know.
Shout out to all the P1s who are still here from day one.
And grown.
Yeah. It's we started at a point where we wanted to bring on people who would bring on nostalgia. So players who fans used to watch years ago or recently that they loved. And we had a really good run of that. And then once the season kind of got rolling, we started to kind of squeeze in a few current players. It wasn't easy because our schedule is tough with practices and stuff. But we ended up getting a couple players mid-season. And then once the season was over, we just said, hey, let's just go hard. We started making really good friends with the teams like the Lions, the Argos, the Edmonton football team.
Sorry. Ding!
The Alouettes. Yeah. So we started making friends with all these teams, and their PR people have been great in dealing with to get the coaches, the players. And because of that, we just said, well, let's just keep going. It was like the Forrest Gump moment. Might as well just keep on going. So we just
run, Clark, run.
We just kept getting these guys on, and it kind of became the show for the player's voice and the coach's voice. And we've been, I've been proud of that. And I think you've been proud of that too. And just the fact that we've really become a place where the staff and the players can come on and feel comfortable to say what they want to say, what they need to say. And like Justin Renfro, for example, came on and told us that heart-wrenching story of
racism
that he's experienced. So we're an open platform for these guys to say what they want to say, and I think they appreciate that as much as we appreciate them doing it.
Right, and there's nobody else providing them that. But I also said to Nick, there's just not really anybody talking about the CFL period right now. And let's be honest, even if the season was on, Clark, you grew up with the CFL just like I did. The only time you're getting CFL talk is during the games. Labor Day Classic weekend. If they were playing this week, TSN would come on at 5 Mountain. Kickoff would be at 5:07. It's a 7-minute pregame show. Should be all day.
Right.
You know, so there's just not, they just scaled back. And I don't know if it's cutbacks or what it is in the major markets, but we'll sit here and talk about it all day. And I'm starting to get excited for the next CFL because I can kind of see it on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, of this bridge that's, and I think Benefield will be a huge part of it. So my question to you out of all of that is, where do you see this going as a CFL?
That's the, from the league
just
point of view?
Everything. What is it going to look like when we
talked
come
about
back?
It a little bit before the show even started today. But like you just said, the CFL is in a point, I think, personally, and I've said this even before the show started, so I'm not trying to be biased here that our show is doing anything too crazy, but we're doing very good at what we do. But the CFL has been at a point now for years where it's very cut and like very minimalistic in terms of their coverage, and whether that's TSN or the CFL, it's not for me to say. But the NFL, if you look at the NFL, and David Benefield has told us this on the show, it's a marketing machine. They drive the fact home that daily shows, they tell you every roster move, they tell you every injury before the team even announces it, they tell you who's going to be hot and who's not, and who's going to emerge and who's the next big star before they're even in the league. You see NCAA just blowing up every year. And the hype of Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be this year's first overall pick, started 2 years ago that he was going to be the first overall pick. And unfortunately for the CFL, and Nick Lewis and I have talked about this, he probably has talked about with you too, the CFL draft, you're finding out who the guys are as they're picked. You don't know their names, and maybe that's our own fault. Maybe that's our, as fans, maybe that's our fault that we don't know enough about these guys. But there's no coverage outside of game day coverage, and it's just, there needs to be more, and hopefully we can be a part of that. I think we're kind of cementing ourselves as part of that, but there needs to be more, and hopefully that's part of the next CFL.
Well, and you, when I say worked in the Rider front office, you were an intern, right?
Paid
intern?
Paid intern, yeah.
Similar to what we're doing with our guys here?
Sure.
If we're not paying Alan, don't tell him.
Bought my wife's wedding ring with my Rider money.
Are you serious?
Thanks, Riders.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was good.
People are calling in with what TSN should do for the CFL, and I guess they could. Or we could sit over here and we could talk about it and don't worry about what TSN's doing. Right. Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're doing over here on Game Plus. Chris in Toronto says CFL Films. Chris, go to rodpeterson.com as soon as we go off the air and read David Benefield's op-ed on the CFL, where it lost its way. It's the number one point that he made is CFL Films. So we are at this critical time. What a time, frankly, to go into this little analysis.
Can I tell you a story about that, exact where you're going? Me and Jordan were just talking about this. Can you imagine if we would have started our show this year? How different our show would have been?
I'm glad we didn't.
I know. It's just crazy to think about that. We've been on a year and a half, and we would have been starting, and we started June 3rd last year. So if that would have happened this year, we would have started with no CFL to talk about, no NHL to talk about.
Well, we're going into Labor Day Classic weekend with no classics. We're just going into Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. The Canada West season would have kicked off as well. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah.
And but there is no Canada West football. There is no Canadian Football League play this weekend. And when you talked about the lack of injury information,
right,
we're sitting on the precipice of an opportunity. I'm seeing what the CFL is facing right now in the season cancellation, not as a tragedy. I'm seeing it as an opportunity.
Definitely.
And when you talk about the injuries, we've all worked in and around those front offices forever. You know how closely guarded they are. And the National Football League, you can't get away with it. The CFL has just, for whatever reason, and I'm not interested in pointing fingers, but they've gone so far down that road of shadiness and misinformation and lying, quite frankly. Here's a chance to start right over.
Absolutely. And I hope they do. I really hope they do. They've locked their doors. And I think in recent years, if you talk to a lot of fans, they've noticed and they feel it. And it's not as inclusive as it was 10, 15 years ago. When I was really getting into it. So here's hoping that they see that and they have somebody in their offices that also sees that and open your doors. Like, be more inclusive, involve the fans more, and they're going to feel it. They'll feel the engagement.
Well, and the thing is, you talk about that now that they're letting people go.
Right.
They're furloughing them. They're terminating them. So who's going to end up being left? And I want to make it very clear, the last point. People think that I'm sitting here banging on the CFL thinking that I hate it, or the Benefield's column this morning was anti-CFL. It's not. We love it so much. We see where it could be, where it's been years ago, and where it is now. And it's not trashing Randy Ambrosi. My Lord, how many times have we had Randy on this show in this time? The league office has been nothing, and particularly him, but gracious and classy to us.
Awesome.
Talk about the way they deal with you.
Yeah, every time we reached out, and this was right when we were kind of beginning again, we had Randy on within our first few months of the show, and we were all out here cheering and hooting and hollering because we were proud of that and that we got him on, and we were making inroads. And every time we've asked them, they've been gracious. And obviously lately, with a lot going on, it's been just very busy for those guys, and it's been tougher and the furloughs. So it's been tough recently, but outside of that, they've always answered our calls and they've always been gracious to have people on. And even when Randy wasn't available, we got Jeff Creever that one time. We got Chris O'Leary. That was all through the CFL office. We got Scott Milanovic on at the CFL winter meeting.
They set it all up. Yeah.
So, I mean, Lucas, shout out to Lucas at the CFL office. They've always been great. So you can't complain there.
Well, and I'll end it on this. Gary in Winnipeg says, I would have left for Regina later today for the game. First Labor Day weekend in Winnipeg in 38 years that he's stayed home.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try and help you out with that. 1 p.m. Mountain, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, CFL Sim. Don't laugh. We're going to have a blast. 4 p.m. Mountain, Calgary, Edmonton. It won the vote for Canada's Game of the Week outside the Sask-Winnipeg game. Anything you want to say about that before we leave?
It's tough because 1 year ago today, we were setting up our celebrity all-star football game.
Yes.
We were getting ready for that. We were making last-minute calls, last-minute roster additions. I remember that vividly. It feels like it wasn't that long ago. We were setting up our outdoor show across the street at the Armory. We had our first ever outdoor show in front of a live audience there. So it's just crazy to think about that was a year ago right now. And miss it. It's tough.
It was a big weekend. Would have been a really good weekend.
Yeah.
So try and cheer up everybody. And I guess, do you want to drop any news about your latest project?
Sure.
Or you want to wait?
Yeah. You're cool with that?
Of course.
So, okay. So everybody watching, if you're friends with me on Facebook, which a lot of our P1s have added me on Facebook, it's great. But we're working on something right now with the show under the Rod Peterson umbrella. And it's a lot of, I saw somebody earlier say Clark needs to be on camera more.
There you go.
We're working on it. So we're working on something called the Squadcast. So obviously you guys are the Rod Squad. I'm part of the background Rod Squad, the crew. And summer student Mad Max has been driving some initiatives. And one of them is to do a secondary show. And it's going to be on Monday nights. And we got a lot to work on still. But that's a little bit of a teaser that we're going to do a bit of a show. That we're going to dive deep on things that we may have missed on the show, or go further on things that we talked about on the show. And we're going to have guests just like we do on this show. We're going to have a similar format. It'll be 1 hour in length, and I'll be hosting it with our summer student, Mad Max. And
you got to get Alan Lee on, the Asian
Alan,
sensation.
If he's available. He's so busy recently with school.
Alan, we need
up.
John.
So it's going to be a bit of like an AHL farm team feel. It's a training grounds, and we'll have a lot of fun with it. We'll have some interesting guests on. We'll analyze some things, and it's just a chance for us to add a little bit of an extra content and have some fun with it.
The Squadcast.
And we'll have some, if you follow us on our new Twitter and Instagram accounts, the Team RP Show accounts, we'll have some more announcements with that in the next week.
I already love the logo with Ricky the Iguana.
Yeah, just wait for that.
Ricky's going to be the star of 2020. You wait.
Just wait.
Okay, Clark, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Back into your cage.
Okay. You're right. Oh, there he is.
There he is. All right. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Make it happy. And we'll see you Tuesday. Oh, I need my pen.
You going to throw something?
Why did I put it away? I'll see you Tuesday, right? No show Monday?
Yeah, no show Monday. CFL Sim Monday.
Sim 1-4, and then we'll see you Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
A little low.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's gonna be the same. Your vehicle's gonna look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.